The Bible is a collection of 66 books. Within these pages, there are 1,189 chapters. There are 31,173 verses, and a grand total of 807,361 words. A quick read. Written over the course of thousands of years by countless authors, our holy scriptures bear wisdom not measured, ultimately, by words or by time. And within these pages, one can find answers to many questions, as well as far many more questions than answers, on myriad topics. But if one were pressed to sum it all up as succinctly as possible, especially if that one were yours truly, one might say that altogether, this is an anthology first and foremost about love. It is, in one way or another, the topic covered and the most in these pages. It is also arguably the reason for any of this anyway. We, of course, learn a great deal about love through reading and studying the Word of God, Psalm 23, 1 John 3, and so many more passages. For instance, we learn that love has its origins in God, and without God, there is no love. The very substance of love not only originates from God, but is the very essence of God. God is love, we are told. And conversely, love is God, or at least of God. If we earnestly desire to seek out God, we do well to seek out love. And when we find it, well, we will find God. God is love, a one-to-one relationship which explains so much. It explains creation. Why would God create a world that would ultimately rebel against God? Because God is love and thus desires not to be in isolation. In other words, God created in order to have an object of love. In fact, we exist simply because God is love and desires to love. It explains free will. True love does not exist outside of the ability to choose. Love requires that the choice not to love be a real choice. And so God has endowed humanity with the freedom to choose, to love or not to love, to be loved or not to be loved. It explains providence. If it was not out of love that God created, then God may have chosen to simply set the world on its course and to step back and to watch from a distance. But it was out of love that God created this world, and thus God remains actively engaged in its life, healing, restoring, and reconciling. It explains redemption. If God was only concerned with justice and law, we would simply be left to the consequences of our sin, and thus would be utterly lost. But because of God's love for humanity, God refuses to leave us to that fate. And thus God chose to redeem creation. It explains salvation, or life after death. Without love, we would simply live our lives, die, and cease to exist, making room for those who would follow. A divine science experiment in biology. But our God is so much more than a scientist. It is our relationship and companionship that God desires, and thus God offers eternal life as the surest sign of love for all of humanity. Further in love, we learn that love has a double relationship to God. It is only by knowing God that we know love, and it is only by knowing love that we know God. It is by love and love alone that God is known. For it was solely out of love that creation came into being. A God who was and is love needed something to which to express that love. And so God made all of creation, and it was good. You see, our God is a God of relationship. Internally, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three. And externally, God and humanity, God and all of creation. and relationship is founded on love. We learn that God's love for all of creation and for humanity specifically is demonstrated to us best in Jesus Christ. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. In Christ, we see that God's love is a love that holds nothing back, willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to express itself. And we see that it is a love that is totally undeserved. The perfect man giving his life to reconcile fallen humanity to God, to break the bonds of sin and death and reunite creation with her creator. The love of God transfused with grace upon grace. Jesus Christ is the bringer of life, not simply existence, but life. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Wherever Jesus is, there is life. New life, with divine purpose and strength and peace that passes all understanding. Life that begets more life. Jesus Christ is the restorer of the lost love relationship with God. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Sin has broken the relationship between God and creation, and it is Jesus who repairs it through his love, through his blood. The great divide between God and humanity has been bridged by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world, offering salvation from eternal damnation, but even more than that. For people need to be saved even from themselves. They need to be saved from the habits which have become their chains. They need to be saved from their own temptations. They need to be saved from their fears and anxieties. They need to be saved from their follies and from their mistakes. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. As William Barclay writes, whatever that may mean, it certainly means that Jesus Christ is in a relationship to God in which no other person ever stood or ever will stand. Christ alone can show us what God is like. He alone can bring God's grace, love, forgiveness, and strength. Further, we learn that human love is but a response to divine love, for we love because he first loved us. As New Testament scholar A.E. Brooks puts it, human love is a reflection of something in the divine nature itself. Totally depraved and left to our own devices, we could not love. It is only through the love of God that we know what it means to love and to choose to love. Whatever that love is directed toward, God or one another. Clement of Alexandria once stated that the real Christian practice is being God by learning to love. And when we love out of absolutely pure intentions, we are the closest to God that we can possibly be. We learn that love for God and love for others are inextricably connected. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Our love for God finds expression in our love for one another. And our love for one another is only possible because of God's love for us and our love for God. We only succeed in being hypocrites if we claim to love God but refuse to love our brothers and sisters, any of them. And Jesus, it turns out, has some pretty harsh words for hypocrites. New Testament scholar and theologian C.H. Dodd attempted to illustrate this reality in this way. The energy of love discharges itself along lines which form a triangle, whose points are God, self, and neighbor. With God at the apex, as we move closer to God in love, we naturally draw closer to the neighbor in love as well. We learn that love drives out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. With love comes trust, and with trust comes courage and boldness in the face of fear. If we truly understand what it means to be loved by God and to love God in return, that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, then what is there to fear? Death? Certainly not. For death has been swallowed up in victory, defeated by the perfect sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, accomplished by the pure love of God for all of humanity. So if we even need not fear death, then what is left to fear? If love is true, then there is nothing. So clearly, there is a lot to learn about the nature of love in our scriptures. But ultimately, the learning is all in vain if we do not apply and practice. It is right to be here and to offer our love and our praise to God, but to be clear, it is not enough. Expressing love to God in return for God's love is an everyday matter. Indeed, it is an every hour and every minute matter. With our whole lives, we are to show our love to God. And the scriptures are clear that the best way to do so is to love one another, to love our neighbors. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. And not just one another, but all brothers and sisters. We love because God first loved us, period. It is a statement of truth, and it is a command. We need not like, agree, or affirm, but we do need to love, willing to lay down our lives as the great shepherd laid down his for us. For love is found in expression, in action, not simply in word or in emotion. And ultimately, that is perhaps the best summation of the gospel message, in my opinion. That love is not simply something we feel or something that we say. It is something we do. Not just for those who are easy to love, but for all. In May 2012, popular singer-songwriter John Mayer released his fifth studio album entitled Born and Raised. On that album is a simple little song that complements our theme rather nicely, I believe. And so I offer it here as a sort of benediction to our sermon for today. Love is a verb, it ain't a thing. It's not something you own, it's not something you scream. When you show me love, I don't need your words. Yeah, love ain't a thing, love is a verb. Love ain't a thing, love is a verb. Love ain't a crush, it ain't an excuse. No, you can't get through love on just a pile of IOUs. Love ain't a drug, despite what you've heard. Yeah, love ain't a thing, love is a verb. Love ain't a thing, love is a verb. So you gotta show me that love is a verb. Yeah, you gotta show me, show, show,
Show me that love is a verb. 'Cause love ain't a thing. Love is a verb.
Amen.